Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You've just heard all the reasons why Aroma Hassan is our candidate against the deputy leader of the so-called Labour Party in this election. What a breath of fresh air Aroma will be for Ashton-under-Lyne. What a breath of fresh air in the fetid atmosphere at the top of the misnamed Labour Party. But this is the third launch that I have done in less than 24 hours. Our campaign all over this country with hundreds of candidates is well and truly underway. They thought they were pulling a surprise election. Well, it may have been a surprise to some, but not to us. We have been on a permanent election footing since the people of Rochdale on the 29th of February changed the political landscape in this country. And we won't stop until the 4th of July, and only then for a week or two. Last night, I was in High Wycombe, where our candidate, Khalil Ahmed, who stood for Labour last time in 2019, a bad year for Labour, and he polled 20,000 votes in the Wycombe constituency. And I said last night, if he pulls 20,000 votes again on the 4th of July, he's going to be the MP with a landslide in High Wycombe, and we are confident that we can do it. Yesterday afternoon, I was in Ealing Southall, launching our huge campaign in London, where we have scores of candidates, practically a candidate in every constituency in the whole of Greater London. That's how off and running we are. Our campaign has started exceptionally well, while Keir Starmer's campaign has blown up in his face. Blown up in his face. These last 5 years, when he's been conspiring and backstabbing and blacklisting and factionally elbowing everyone who's not entirely on his message out of the way, he thought that, like a silent assassin, he could eliminate, in some cases, well-established members of Parliament. In other cases, exceptionally well-placed challengers. Let me deal with that one. As it happens, I shouldn't tell you this, but I will, as nobody's listening. Ian Duncan Smith had already packed his bag for retirement and no doubt elevation to the House of Lords. His staff had packed their bags and were applying for new jobs. How do I know that? Because they're in the next door office to me. And I know that the staff were applying for other jobs, if you get my meaning. They believed they were out, that the Labour candidate who came close to beating Ian Duncan Smith last time would sweep him away at the general election. So what does the genius, the grown-up Keir Starmer do while the young woman is out canvassing for her election with her baby in a sling over her shoulder? Keir Starmer sacks her because years ago she liked a Facebook post which Keir Starmer has decreed makes her unacceptable as a Labour candidate. The fact that the Facebook page or post had been posted by an American Jewish comedian of international renown, Jon Stewart, of The Daily Show, and because that post showed a little bit of sympathy for the Palestinian people undergoing a genocidal series of massacres, the Labour candidate was sacked. She was sacked and immediately replaced by a member of, supporter of, the Friends of Israel. That's what the genius Keir Starmer thought would win the election in Chingford and Woodford. Well, I've got news for you. Ian Duncan Smith has unpacked his bags. He thought he was definitely out, but now he's definitely in. There are no circumstances in which Labour can now capture that seat. Now, according to Rishi Sunak, just half an hour ago, Keir Starmer's not really the leader of the Labour Party. He says the leader of the Labour Party is really Angela Rayner. Well, we've all got problems if Angela Rayner is the real leader of the party, which would appear to be definitely going to emerge as the biggest party in the House of Commons when it reassembles after July the 4th. Because nobody knows better than you what kind of character Angela Rayner is. I mean, I said that aroma would be a breath of fresh air. Well, there's a bit of fresh air needed here in this constituency after Angela Rayner's time as Member of Parliament here. Whether it's only fans or whether it's registering her children at the wrong address for sentimental reasons. Do you ever hear of that? Do you ever hear of somebody who registered their children to vote at a false address for sentimental reasons? The police investigation, the tax that was avoided, the questions over whether she told the truth about her own personal affairs are an embarrassment here in this constituency. But much more serious for the country is that Angela Rayner has lied her way over the last 9 years in order to ditch anybody that she was ever close to. Ask Jeremy Corbyn, if you don't believe me, to turn her back on anyone who ever believed in her, to defile the self-image of herself that she promoted as a friend of the working class, as a friend, for example, of the Palestinian people. I see some in the audience today. One day, she's shedding tears with a Palestinian constituent whose family are under bombardment in Gaza. And the next day, when it doesn't suit her, she pretends not to know him at all. This is a double-dealing, two-faced, forked-tongued deceiver that you have as a Member of Parliament here. And Aroma Hassan will be a welcome breath of fresh air. But back to Keir Starmer. He did the same with Diane Abbott. one of the most established members of parliament in the country, one of the best known faces in politics in the country. She entered parliament on the same day. We're exactly the same age. We entered parliament together on the same day, almost 40 years ago. She was an icon, a trailblazer, a supporter of oppressed people everywhere, and in particular, an outspoken supporter of the Palestinian people. So she had to go. And Starmer, under an entirely contrived row about a letter to a newspaper that nobody read, kept her in limbo, in purgatory, for an entire year, pretending he was investigating a letter to a newspaper. We now know that Starmer was lying too. That's the hallmark of the leadership of what calls itself the Labour Party today. You cannot believe a word that they say. And if this is how they run their own party, how do you think they'd run the country? Who would trust them to run the country when they can't even run their own household affairs? So he tried to get rid of Diane Abbott. And the public in Hackney and Stoke Newington, just like the public now in Chingford, have risen up against them. That's the start of Keir Starmer's election campaign. And I'm going to tell you something, you might not want to hear it. I see these people every day up close and personal. When it comes down to one-to-one debates, Rishi Sunak is going to knock spots off Keir Starmer. He's a much better debater. Keir Starmer's a block of wood. I saw birds trying to nest in him just the other day on the campaign trail. He's clunky. He can't think on his feet. He needs a barrister's brief in order to bore the judge to death. Well, you can't do that in a general election. You've got to be nimble. Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, jump over that candlestick. Keir Starmer would trip over the candlestick. In fact, he placed the candlestick down there so he could trip over it. This man is accident prone. And he's going to be found out when the general election hones in on which of these two people will be the Prime Minister. Now, some of you are thinking, well, surely we want Sunak out. Nobody wants that any more than I do, trust me. You remember his reaction when I won the by-election. He flew an RAF plane down from Lossiemouth in the dark, got out a lectern that was too big for him, because he's very, very small, trust me. He's even smaller than you think he is. He wears elevator heels. I used to think that was a kind of Hollywood thing. But he literally has elevated heels. That's how small he is. But he's still far more effective in close quarter fighting than Keir Starmer will ever be. And some of you will say, well, isn't this about the lesser of two evils? Labour, Tory, same old story, two cheeks of the same arse. And I say this, if you vote for the lesser of two evils, evil always wins. And nothing ever gets better. But in this case, again, some of you might not like this, I could not tell you which is the lesser of the two evils, Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak. They're both equally evil to me. And I don't know if asked to choose between this cheek or that cheek of an arse that I have any preference. I want to boot that arse hard on the 4th of July in the general election, because nothing good will come out of a Starmer victory or a Sunak victory, because they are indistinguishable on everything that matters. Whether it's the economy, whether it's society, this is Blair versus Blair, this election campaign. Sunak's a Blairite and Starmer is a Blairite. They have the same views on social, cultural and political issues. But I must move on to what the television wants me to talk about. Keir Starmer has a bigger problem even than the ginger growler herself. His biggest problem is that he has supported the worst genocidal massacre seen on earth since 1945. Seen. There have been others. Vietnam, which is where I came in, was even worse. Many times worse in quantum, but we didn't see it. Seeing is believing. There is nobody in this country who has wanted to can have avoided seeing the mass slaughter in Gaza. 2.3 million people trapped in a cage, being massacred by their jailers. And when they stand up, rise up against it, it's they who are the terrorists and not the guards who are raining down death and destruction, beheading their children, cutting the limbs off their mothers. Rivers of blood are running in Gaza, and Keir Starmer has supported it from the first day and until this day. And that is Keir Starmer's biggest problem. Because there are millions of people in this country of whom you are a mere snapshot. I make that point because most of the people in this audience are white English people. They try to tell you that the only people who care about beheaded children in Gaza are Muslims. That's a lie. All Muslims, of course, care about it. But millions of other British people care about it too. I estimate more than 5, maybe 7 million people in Britain are acutely distressed about what they are watching. And most of that 7 million used to vote Labour. In fact, Keir Starmer's counting on them to vote Labour. And if they don't vote Labour, how does he win any kind of landslide majority? Do the maths. If those millions vote for independence, like Jeremy Corbyn, for independence, like Andrew Feinstein, who's fighting Starmer, for the Workers' Party, like me, like Aroma, and the hundreds of other candidates that we are fielding, if those millions vote for us, I'll be in the running to be the Prime Minister of Britain. Not Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak. So, that's Starmer's biggest problem, and as so often, Shakespeare provides the words to describe the dilemma. That blood is on his hands. All the perfumes of Arabia cannot extinguish these damned spots of blood that are upon him. Moreover, he can't go on, he can't go back. Like Julius Caesar crossing the Rubicon, steeped in blood so far that you cannot work out whether it is bloodier to go on or to go back. He can't change his unequivocal, without qualification, support for Zionism and Israel, because then the people he has so earnestly worked to bring to his side will turn against him. And neither is there a cost-free way of continuing. Every child that's murdered, every mother that is slaughtered, every father scrambling amongst the rubble trying to find their loved ones, every one of those is a nail in the political reputation of Keir Starmer and the so-called Labour Party that it supports. So there's no way out, and there's only 6 weeks of this campaign. Labour are the genocide party. The Tories are the genocide party. Who wants to vote for genocide? Who wants to vote for child slaughter? Not many. And even them that do, do so without love. They move not out of love. Nobody loves Keir Starmer. Not even his, well, I can't speak for his family, but not only, not even his own party loves Starmer, never mind the general electorate. And nobody loves Rishi Sunak. That's why we've got an election. Do you know why the election's on July the 4th? Because if he'd left it any longer, Sunak would have been overthrown by his own members of parliament. And God knows what we would have got after him. Every time the Tories change leader, it gets worse. Now, we're standing hundreds of candidates. I'm an elected member of parliament. 326 candidates we're standing. How about that? 326. And I'm the leader, and therefore I'm a candidate for Prime Minister. How then, I say this directly to ITV, how can you have a leaders' debate and I'm not in it? How is that possible? I mean, apart from anything else, without wishing to seem immodest, you'll get far more viewers for your debate if I'm on it than if I'm not on it, and everyone knows that that's the truth. And so, on Monday, we will begin a legal action against ITV and Ofcom to insist that I, as the leader of the Workers' Party, are on their televised debate. And I hope that everyone will support me. Let me bring it back to Aroma, this wonderful woman, eloquent, elegant, respectable. Doesn't she seem exactly the kind of woman that every woman would like to be represented by in Parliament? Does anybody feel that way about Angela Rayner? No, not even her own closest colleagues would describe her thus. This woman, is she not exactly the kind of woman that every man and every woman would love to have as a neighbour, as a daughter-in-law, as a relative, as a friend? This woman will make you proud in the way that Angela Rayner frequently makes you ashamed. This woman would take the House of Commons by storm, because she says what she means and she means what she says. That's the difference between her and Angela Rayner. And so, not just because we're relative neighbours, Rochdale and here, not far at all, but because I consider her one of our biggest stars. And I dream, and I plead with you to make that dream come true, that we wake up on the 5th of July to Aroma Hassan MP. Thank you very much indeed for being here today.
George, questions from the press.
Any questions from the media?
Yep, Andrew.
So I was wondering if Aroma and yourself would like to respond to that video footage of Angela Rayner and Gaza.
So the question is, when Angela was on her knees the other day begging in the mosque, she said that she would resign her seat if it would bring about a ceasefire. I suppose the question is there anybody here who believes that? Because if you believe that, I've got a bridge in London I could sell you, going very, very cheap, Aroma.
So jokes aside, this is an incredibly serious time. When our MPs are saying, if I could make a difference, I would resign, what on earth did we vote them in for in the first place? If I didn't believe that I could make a difference, then why would I be out canvassing every single night? Why have I been out talking to all the constituents that I can possibly get to? Why are we here today? The only reason you run for election, you run as an MP, is because you want to make a difference.
Yeah.
So in response to that question, would it make a difference? Yes, it would. Concede your seat. Give it to me, and I'll show you the difference it can be made.
Well, may I just supplement that outstanding answer by saying I wish I'd said that. I will. She had a chance to vote for a ceasefire, and she didn't only refuse to vote for a ceasefire, she sabotaged the entire vote. They nobbled the speaker to avoid the opportunity to vote for a ceasefire. I told you, she's a lying, deceitful, double-dealing, fork-tongued hypocrite. We're standing all over Greater Manchester, and we have high hopes, not just in the inner city, where, as you know, Steve, we toppled the deputy leader of Manchester City Council just a few weeks ago, Councillor Shahbaz Sarwar, in the best result, the most significant result in the whole country, actually, because Labour threw the kitchen sink and even the toilet bowl, especially the toilet bowl, at holding that seat, and they failed. We took it. Both inside the city of Manchester and in places like Oldham and Bury, where we have two very strong candidates standing, and here, of course, in Ashton, we are very confident that we are going to receive thousands and thousands of votes everywhere that we stand. We don't have a target. Our target is 326, because that means I'll be in 10 Downing Street. That's our target. And the voters will decide what the eventual outcome is. The one thing I can confidently state, without fear of contradiction, is that our candidates will make a decisive difference to the outcome of the election everywhere that we stand. We will either win or we will decide who wins. And that's a good place to be in, not even 100 days since the Rochdale by-election. Anyone else? Any other media? Or members of the public, by the way.
What would you say to the people that say your policies and your politics cause division in communities?
I'll tell you what causes division in communities. Members of Parliament supporting genocide. That's what causes division. Standing up to genocide is not divisive. Supporting genocide is divisive. And that's a charge which Labour makes out of desperation, you know. They wish that we would all just sit quietly and let them do what they're going to do. But the people around here are not like that. The people here believe in democracy, and they believe in electing people that will carry out the wishes of the electorate. That's Labour's problem with us. Labour's problem with us is that we are seeing the things that the public think and have waited too long to have politicians speak out loud for them. We're running out of power here, I think. Not me, the mic.
Just the mic.
Mr. Galloway, barely 3 months since your by-election win and you're on the general election campaign trail. Tell us what you're hoping for the Workers' Party in this campaign.
Well, we're standing enough candidates that if everyone votes for them, I'll be the Prime Minister. So that's a big task in a very short period of time. We're only 4 years old, and the party only really took off in the Rochdale by-election. And yet we've managed to find all these hundreds of candidates, who are all self-funded, by the way, paying their own election expenses. And our party is 4 times bigger than it was 100 days ago. So our task is simple, to persuade the maximum number of people to vote for our policies of peace, equality, justice, an end to the slaughter in Gaza, and a new direction for Britain. It's all in our manifesto. I commend it to people. It's a sharp difference from the two cheeks of the same backside that Labour and the Conservatives represent.
What does success look like for the Workers' Party on the 4th of July?
Well, a parliamentary breakthrough. We've got one elected Member of Parliament. We have to turn that into many.
How many's many?
I'll be extremely disappointed if it's not in double figures. How high the double figures would go, I don't know. But if we can get, let me just pluck a number out of the air, if we can get 200,000 votes across the country, and maybe much more than that, we move up into the Premier League in parliamentary terms. We qualify for state financial support. We are allowed to table motions in the Commons, initiate debates, always be called at Prime Minister's question time, and so on. That would be important, especially if Starmer is the Prime Minister. Because if he's the Prime Minister, I'll be the leader of the real opposition. And everyone would be able to see that. I'll be the one speaking for the people that Labour has abandoned on a daily basis in Parliament with our MPs. That will begin to change politics in Britain forever.
You're your party's only MP at the moment. In a few weeks' time, you could have no MPs. Are you prepared for that?
Sure, if we get hundreds of thousands of votes and keep on getting bigger and bigger, then we'll still regard 2024 as having been the year of our breakthrough.
So no MPs could still be success?
If we got hundreds of thousands of votes across the country, it would be an indictment on the electoral system that we have. I've supported proportional representation all of my life. I support it now. The indictment would be on the electoral system if a party with hundreds of thousands of votes had no parliamentary representation. But I really don't think that hypothetical is going to come to pass.
Why should people vote for you?
Because we want to make a difference to the ossified British political scene, which is sunk in a kind of depression. We have two parties that stand for exactly the same thing, and that same thing is leading us to disaster. More and more wars, bigger and bigger wars, and maybe the ultimate war, just over the horizon. If you want peace, if you want justice, if you want equality, vote Workers' Party.
How much does your party's offer revolve around Gaza?
Well, of course, as long as Gaza is burning and children are having their heads blown off and limbless children are being carried out of collapsed buildings, Gaza's going to be a major issue in this election. No one can wish that away. And even if, for a short period, the guns fall silent, which they may or may not do, no sign of it yet, the memories of what everyone has seen will last forever. No one who's seen the pictures of these children maimed and murdered will ever forget it, or the politicians who allowed it to happen.
Mr. Galloway, at the local elections, you threatened to wipe Labour off Rochdale Council. You didn't do that. Doesn't that suggest that your appeal's a bit too limited in the general election?
Except I didn't. This is the second time you've put that entirely false quote to me. I said we will begin the task of wiping Labour out of the town hall in Rochdale. And we did begin that task. And in subsequent local council elections, we will make more and more progress on that. But this is not about me. It's not about Rochdale even. This is our national political launch of a party with hundreds of candidates and, as you can see, quite a well-known leader.
If Labour are stopping some left-wing candidates from standing in this general election, do you think that could help you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you look at the East End of London, where Labour has dropped all white, all Starmer affiliated, mostly Starmer employed individuals into what he thinks are safe Labour seats in areas where the ethnic minority population is pretty close to being a majority population, if he thinks he's going to sail through in these kind of constituencies, he's entirely wrong.
Thank you. How do you rate your own chances in Rochdale in this vote? Obviously, you've only had a few months in the job.
Yeah, I'm confident that all the work we did in the by-election and since will see us comfortably re-elected.
Do you feel like you've got your own finger on the pulse in the town? We know, obviously, you made the promise about maternity services, which the NHS have actually distanced themselves from.
You're very poorly briefed for a man from the Manchester Evening News. The Tory Minister of Health promised to reinstate maternity services in Rochdale. It's a great victory. Don't try and belittle it. Because Labour will have to match it, won't they?
No, I was going to say, will the Tory promise still stand in 2 months' time?
No, but you missed my last answer. Labour will have to match it, won't they? Are you really saying the Tories were going to reopen the maternity in Rochdale, but Labour are going to stop it? Be sensible.